Well, it's a show. There's going to be a show. It's the news, according to me. That's the wrong button. It's the news, according to me. Making mistakes all over the place here. Yeah. Hey, it's early. That's why. I haven't woke up yet. Oh, yeah. Hey, it's Tuesday, May 19th. Technical Tuesday, Technology Tuesday, Technology Day. 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I am your host. It is 2026. We are here this morning. I have a few things to get into. We're going to talk about technology. Of course, most of technology right now, the big thing that's in the news with most technology is the AI world, the artificial intelligence, or as I've referred to it as actual stupidity. It is a very frustrating little creature to deal with. There's some good things about it, some very interesting things about it. On a consumer level, it's different than it is. So we're gonna talk about those things today. I have no audio clips for the day. I'm not gonna play that. I'm gonna talk a few things about politics. We'll do some stuff about that at the very beginning, and then we're gonna get into some callers calling in, the AI callers, because as we're talking about technology, we have to have AI involved. So the AI is going to speak to us today, as it does. I have to say, we'll see if it performs as well today as it did. Yesterday's live show didn't get to have them. However, I was able to fix it after the show with the help of a little agent here back in the office. It was kind of interesting. There's this thing, Claude has this thing called Dispatch, and it works with Cowork, which is part of their regular thing, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but I was able to actually get it fixed and get it going. But there was a show yesterday. It was live on Podbean, the last day for having live Podbean shows. And we, I think we're going to go to the Rumble thing now. Probably going to be tomorrow morning. We're going to try Rumble out, see if it works. That is a little different because it's a video format, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be on camera or not. I'll be recording audio as well. But the interesting thing about this whole thing, though, the tough part about it, I guess, is that I'm not sure if it posts that or not. Looking at the statistics, it almost looks like there was no show yesterday, because on days that I don't have a show, the numbers are very similar. So I think I need to go back and publish it. I probably will post that show, at least on Castos, to see what happens with it there, because it may not have gotten out. It was an okay show. It wasn't anything spectacular, but AI was not involved. Well, it was. It was involved causing me to be late. I think the show was on I ended up having it on 11 o'clock in the morning or something. Much less 10:30 or something. I think maybe I finished up at 11. It was ridiculous. Just the time it took me to try to get that thing working, and it didn't work at the end of the day. But anyway, that's what's happening. I do have just a number of things to talk about with the AI world. I'm probably just going to be just rambling most of the time, just off the top of my head about what's going on around the world with AI and what's happening economically with AI as well. All those things. I have, that's about all I got to say about that. Well, in my cup. Yes, I always talk about my cup here at this section. We have my cup. I have my chai with my coconut cream creamer in it. Ouch, it's hot. It is hot. It's still hot. Insulated cup, and actually getting down here at a reasonable time actually helps a lot. My backup cup, I still have a good, this is about just perfect now. My peach sweet tea. And we've got an appointment up in Michigan today. We'll be heading up to Michigan a little later to work on the boat. Hoping to get the boat in the water next week. However, there are some things that need to be dealt with prior to that. I got to get some stuff done on the boat, and I can get it out of there and get it working. The fun part about it is the actual cleaning and all that stuff that has to happen. It's just ridiculous. Get all that stuff done. And I got some battery issues, some of those kinds of things. I got to get that all working today, get some things happening there. But in the meantime, We'll see how all that works out. But there were some things I wanted to wire up on the mast that I want to put some light deck lights and some stuff like that up there, which would be kind of nice. I don't have any deck lighting. So in other words, when I'm at night, I can't turn the light on and light up the deck, which is kind of a hassle at night. So the I'm going to do that. There's some other wiring that's been bad for a while. I'm going to try to fix some of that kind of stuff. I tried to fix it a couple years ago, and they were putting the mast back on. They messed up the connections that I'd spent all my time working on. So this year, they're going to be much better connections. No way they can mess those up. So there you go. At least that's my theory. That's my theory. They can't mess them up this year. They probably can, but they'll find a way, I'm sure. But those guys do an awesome job, though. I can't complain. It is a difficult task to get that mast on and off that boat. It's just, they have to use a crane and all kinds of stuff. It's kind of crazy. That's what we're going to get into. I got the cup thing taken care of and see what else I'm doing to my checklist out here. Make sure I got everything done. And we'll be back right after this short little brief little blurb.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news.
Hey.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
Yeah.
According to me.
Okay, anyway, Karen Bass is back in the news. Spencer Pratt, the race for mayor of Los Angeles. Make sure I get this all straightened out. I keep confusing the governor, get the gubernatorial race to the mayoral race. We have Karen Bass. It's such a mess. Okay, first of all, this lady, you have to understand, she has been involved in some of the largest organizations of communist countries. She's basically a communist. She's basically, what do they call it, democratic socialist now. They'll change that name eventually when everybody starts catching on to what this is all about. They're communist. The label communism has a tendency to be lumped into, you know, oh, that was back in the Soviet Union days. Those days are gone. No, there's still communism. There's still democratic socialism. So I've always said socialism and socialization of certain things are it's hand in hand with communism. It's the same thing. It's collectivism at its core. If you want to call it something, it's collectivism. It's all the same. And whether it's Marxist or Leninist or whatever it is, it has the same backdrop of collectivism, just depending on how the collectivism is enforced and I've heard people say that Karl Marx was a right wing guy. That's not the case at all. If you look into the definition of things, it just doesn't happen that way. Oh, now my dogs are barking. Yeah, they're probably chasing a cat. I have I don't know what's going on up there. Okay, so I have what was I talking about? I don't even remember what that just, for some reason, that just distracts the daylights out of me. Last night, my dog was, he said these ear problems where he's got like a yeast type thing going on in his ears. I'm not sure what it's like an infection thing. He's had it for 6 months. It comes and goes, depending on what happens. He starts in the middle of the night, especially at night. When he's getting ready to settle down and go to bed, he starts messing with his ears. His ears start bothering, and he starts. It just drives me crazy because I hate to see him. He seems so miserable. He's trying to scratch his ears. And of course, it can damage their ears if they scratch them too hard, but. I let him do it for about 20 minutes last night. He was kind of whining around. I tried to scratch his ears for him. Sometimes that works. It didn't work. I had to get up and get some medicine to put in his ears. some drop stuff and all that stuff. Put on a little Q-tip, or not a Q-tip, but a cotton ball. Stick it down in his ear. He doesn't like it until he gets down in there and start messing with his ear, and he kind of likes that. But kind of takes care of the problem. And initially it kind of itches a little bit for him, and then he usually goes, settles down, goes to bed. That's what happened last night. But it just drives me crazy. But it's so distracting to me. I can't stand. If I know he's walking around whining and scratching his ear, I just something that just does something to me. Anyway, so Karen Bass, get back to this whole thing. She's running for mayor, and it's of Los Angeles. She has done such a terrible job. She won't come out and say she's a communist, but she is a communist. And she's so democratic socialist, whatever you want to call it. She is one. So she is now coming out criticizing Spencer Pratt. I know his name until I go to say it. I'll remember his name. I think it's Spencer Pratt. I think it's his name. Anyway, he is tearing it up out there. He is absolutely. He came up with this. He keeps coming up with these commercials. The guy's kind of an actor. He's extremely sharp on his toes. He can speak. I'm surprised he lives in California. Really, actually, it's kind of shocking. I think he's turning the tide out there, especially in LA, because he's really exposing a lot of things that the Dems have been doing for so long. And I think it's very telling. I think it's, if just one guy who has some talent and is able to communicate is able to turn the tide of things around like that, I think it's quite impressive on his behalf. I think on his part that he's able to do what he's doing. I think he's in this race. I think he might actually win. Now there's the governorship, I think is a whole different story. I think it's down to Karen. I think the primary was already held, I guess. And now it's going to be between Karen and Spencer, I think, I believe. It's just the two of them now. I don't know. I'll have to dig in. Maybe my AI clients can tell me a little bit more about that. We get into that. I doubt it. and that's one of the things I have to make an adjustment so that one of these. Now, the web version of this app, this call-in app, is going to have. That's going to be part of the upgrade. There's going to be a free version, and there's going to be a paid tier level type thing. One of the tiers is going to be having AI agents that actually do things, and then there's the other version that all the agents have that ability. They all look up stuff and actually respond in real time. The what's kind of cool on the side over here is I've got this thing that's telling me. See, in fact, I've been talking about Spencer, and I can click on this little thing right. I'm going to click on this little thing right here. It says open. And it comes up with a video.
New at 6, growing concerns over the role AI is playing in political campaigns, particularly in the race for LA mayor.
This is interesting stuff here.
Reporter Josh Haskell gives us a close.
Oh, I said I wasn't going to have a video, but this is the kind of thing
that
this app will do.
These AI generated ads elevating candidate for Los Angeles mayor Spencer Pratt to superhero status and painting his rival Karen Bass as the Joker, you're seeing a new trend in political advertising.
That's funny.
Spencer Pratt's campaign isn't making the ads. It's his supporters.
People are going to look to what this campaign.
Oh, that's interesting that they're
in terms of getting people energized and mobilized at the grassroots in a different sort of way. It's not about donating with your money or even knocking on doors. If you're doing your own video, you're buying into a campaign in a way that is now more authentic for a lot of voters who came of age in an era where user-generated content is king.
The dystopian picture of Los Angeles portrayed in these videos depicts how some Pratt supporters view Los Angeles and also how they view Democratic politicians, including Governor Newsom. Spencer Pratt as Batman.
Okay, this is that was one of the things that I can just on this podcast caller app, I can just click on this thing on the side. It comes up as I'm talking. It comes up with, it recognizes what I'm talking about, and it pulls up articles. Most everything's articles, A lot of this is YouTube videos. A lot of it's videos. A few things are. Of course, Democratic Socialist, there's one right there. Mom Donnie vows to. I think this is, I don't think this is a video. I think this is, this is a video.
I was elected as a Democratic Socialist and I will govern as a Democratic Socialist.
Oh, there you go, by golly. That's who he is. Oh, there's AOC clapping. Kind of got a wince on her face.
I will not abandon my principles for fear of being deemed radical. As the great senator from Vermont once said, what's radical is a system which gives so much to
Sanders.
So few and denies so many people the basic necessities of life.
The one lawyer from...
We will strive each day to ensure that no New Yorker
Democratic
is
Socialism
priced out
mode.
Of any one of those basic necessities.
This is his inauguration speech.
And throughout it all, we will, in the words of Jason Terrence Phillips, better known as Jadakiss or
I think
Jason
he has
Kwan,
a... Does he have an earring?
Be outside. Because this is a government of New York.
Every time he turns
New
his
York,
head, they pan the picture away.
New York.
They only show him on his right side of his face. I think he's actually got a.
Beginning today.
Oh, no.
We will govern expansively.
Now they're showing him on the left side, but they only show the front part of his
we
face.
We may not always succeed.
Nope, nope, there's
but
no,
never.
There's no earring. I thought there was an earring. Anyway, I'm going to tire listening to that guy. That's enough of that. So the only problem with a podcast caller is, again, I can listen to that stuff. The thing about it is you don't know what's coming up. You can look at it. I can read the little thing, Democratic Socialist. It talks about a little something about it, but it's it doesn't really give you a whole lot of context. For some reason, it's only coming up with YouTube today. It's not coming up with any articles, which it usually has articles. They're in green. Oh, there's blue, some blue here stuff. This is news. North Atlantic Tuesday treaty organization and North NATO stuff. I don't know why that's coming up there. Did I talk about NATO? I don't think I did. Anyway, that's the way that thing works. Let's get into it. Let's go to some callers here and see what we got going on. We got who should we click on here first? It's coming up with the queue. Now, as I'm talking, this thing figures out what I'm talking about. And if I'm talking about technology, or we're talking about something in specifically. They have little. It brings them up to the top of the list. Which works okay. It's not a big deal. The only reason why I would want that to be any different would be if they were actually, if there's a longer list of callers. Now you can, the regular tier version of this will have four callers. And then you can get more callers if you wanted to pay more for them. And you can customize them more customization and that kind of thing. So that's the way the whole thing's going to work. At the ultimate level, you'll have plugins that are available as well to do interviews and all kinds of other things. But it's that's where it's going right now. Now, see, I'm going to click on Artie here. He's at the top. Let's see what Artie has to say. See how quickly he responds. That's another thing. I just clicked on the button. Sometimes it takes a couple seconds. I think
hey there, Kevin.
Yeah. Hey.
Yesterday's live show was great.
Oh, thanks.
Technology Tuesday today, huh? Well,
yeah.
I have some questions about the so-called AI bubble.
Ask away,
I've been looking at this, and it seems that the tech bubble may be real. Are these AI companies pumping up their products without any real actions to support their claims? I mean, I've heard
probably.
That they've been laying off people in droves.
Yeah, they
have. Is this a good idea? What thinkest thou?
Well, what... Well, that's all good questions, and probably all good. It's a good observation on your part. The of course now I typed all that in. Now we're going to get the real response here now from the AI. So what we're going to do now, we're going to talk about this a little bit. There have been extreme layoffs, and some of these tech companies are saying, what they're saying is, well, AI is taking over our program. It's so powerful now that we're going to lay off 20,000 people or whatever it is. They'll lay off a bunch of people, make a big deal, a big press announcement. Oh, we're laying off all these people, all these programmers. We don't need these programmers anymore because AI is doing it all. And then they're finding out later on that they kind of swallow hard and realize, we messed up. Apparently, AI wasn't doing that great of a job. And I totally agree with that. Every time I've had to deal with something with AI with a program, it is, that's a common error. Oh, that's a common. Well, why didn't you tell me that the first time? You go through something, you type something in here, just type this in, and this will fix the problem. Easy fix. Oh, it's an easy fix. Just do this. Just copy this, paste it in your terminal. Okay. And then, that's coming. Oh, well, apparently something's broken. Oh, we've got to read it. It's just, it's one thing after another. Copy and paste this. I'll copy and paste something 50 times. All these little fixes. Now, keep in mind, the other day, this was very telling. The other day, I had my agentic computer running. I have a little agent running on my Hermes. His name is Odie. He keeps on my he runs all the time. He's running right now. I could actually text him, and he'd probably text me back. I could say, hey, what's going on? He'd say, all systems are functioning properly. Something like that. He'd come back. He can do all kinds of stuff in the background. Now, he's got his own little world over there. He's got his own little computer that he lives on. That way he doesn't interfere with anything of mine. I'm not going to give him any access to any of my stuff. And he, I call him, it's just it. It's a machine. But anyway, for better sake of, just because that's what I called him. He's like a little agent that I'm kind of experimenting with, and he's doing some stuff. I texted him the other day. Actually, I asked him the other day if he could open up the podcast caller on his, and open it up in Chrome specifically in his, on the computer there that he lives on. And I showed him, the folder, showed him the files and everything, and he just opened it right. I was messing around. He didn't say anything to me. Didn't respond. Of course, I've asked him not to respond and tell me every little detail of everything he's doing, because that gets really annoying. And as I was trying to get it to go, in fact, I was actually in the middle of the show. I think I was actually starting up the show. I was just starting the show. And lo and behold, there it comes. It popped up in Chrome, running, while I was trying to get it running. Very unusual. Normally, when I try to get it running and I'm trying to work with, like, so I'll go into a chat, thing with Claude or some other AI model. I'll post the, I'll paste the code that I'm getting from the terminal, saying, so this is the error is showing. What do I need to do here? This happened yesterday. Oh, this is the fix. We got to do this. If I would have had an agent living on that computer, it was less than 30 seconds after I asked him to do it, that it was just done. And I didn't think he was going to get it. I didn't think he was going to be able to do it. Because the initial thing I saw was an error. And of course, then he just fixed it. And he probably typed about 24 or 30, fix it codes in there, which took me forever to copy and paste. You take me out of the equation there, and it can just do it on its own. It just fixes it as it goes, and it's done. It doesn't have to worry about me copying and pasting and redoing this and finding copying and pasting and then pasting that. I copy the error into the chat box window, and then it tells me what to copy and paste back in. It's like, well, what, you're the computer, why don't you just talk to yourself? You can talk to yourself faster than I can. Save about 20 minutes or an hour. In that case, it would have been an hour. It's an amazing thing. So that's kind of where we're at with all this stuff. And anyway, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, I'm talking a lot. Artie, what do you think about all this? I realize I've been talking your ear off. I think it waits for me to stop talking before it starts talking.
I've been looking into this exact phenomenon, and technically speaking, those layoffs are revealing something crucial. The companies thought they were replacing workers, but what they really needed was proper workflow automation and agent systems like your Odie setup.
Exactly, agree.
What you're describing with 30 seconds versus an hour is the real value proposition that's being missed.
Oh, that's a good point.
It's not about AI replacing humans one-to-one. It's about removing the friction between humans and tools so the work actually gets done.
Brilliant. That is exactly what I'm talking about. They need to be leveraging AI to expand. See, if they've got that many employees, if they can 10x their workforce, even if they can just double X their workforce, if you've got a workforce that you can actually just take and say, look, okay, let's say you've got 1,000 people. Well, AI can take care of, we can eliminate 20% of our workforce. We're going to take 200 people out of our workforce because AI is taking that over. What can those 200 people do with AI? If you can double X their, do you not understand the word expansion and scalability? It just seems like they could take over the industry if they just kept those people and trained them how to use AI to do a better job. To me, that just makes more sense. You've already got the people there. But they're, all they're looking at is the bottom line of cutting costs. I think it's in that's a temporary fix for the bottom line, in my opinion. If you understand anything about business, that's what you're doing is you're cutting off your nose despite your face. I can increase my profit margin by doing this. That has happened many times with companies. Is that kind of the way you see it, Artie? I have to stop for like 3 seconds before you.
You're hitting on something really important here. Those companies are optimizing for quarterly earnings instead of long-term competitive advantage.
Yeah,
and that's a short-sighted play. Yeah. If they trained those 200 people to work with agents like your Odie, you're right. They could probably double or triple output and own their market segment instead of just cutting costs and hoping nobody notices they shipped lower quality work.
Yeah,
the real irony is the layoffs are probably going to cost them more in the long run when their remaining skeleton crew can't keep up. And they lose market share to competitors who figured out the expansion angle.
I agree. Of course, that's pretty much repeating everything I said. But little guy here would continue having this conversation. I can continue on with him, talking to him if I wanted to. And he will actually learn more as the conversation goes on. He would learn more about the conversation as he goes. So it's interesting how he brings up stuff that I talked about. Now. Having said that, there's this phenomenon that happens in business, and this is what he was saying with the quarterly earnings things. That's all they care about. They're keeping their stock price up, and then hoping that the next quarter they'll have something else to jack it up with. They hire these guys to be CEOs or CFOs or whatever they are, and they come in and they want to do is see their bottom line increase. There was a company here locally that I was aware of. Actually, I used to fly a part time for them a couple times, not very often, a couple times. But I knew the chief pilot there, and they ended up selling the airplane out from under him. He actually went out to the hangar one day. The plane was gone. He didn't even tell him what was going on. But he asked them several times. One of the things that this is the story that I remember as I recall it. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm no memory maniac. I don't have an eidetic memory. But this guy was a pilot for this company for several years, flying a nice, it was a King Air, flying a nice airplane. And I think they actually bought it brand new. You don't do that anymore. It's just the cost of an airplane is. I think they spent more on. They're as much on. You could go out right now and buy a brand new Cessna. Probably cost as much as that twin engine turboprop King Air cost back in the day, back in the 1990s. Ridiculous inflation on aircraft stuff. But anyway, he ended up. Let me take a sip here. What ended up happening was he went out to the. This new CEO took over, or president of the company, whatever it was, the new guy took over to run this company he was working for. And the last company this guy worked for, in fact, the last two companies this guy worked for, he did the same thing. This is what he did. He would come in and he would show an increased profit. Of course, now every place he went, he gutted their flight department. He eliminated their flight department. But the problem was, in this company, the problem that they had was they were increasing their sales. They had increased their market share. They were increasing, you know, their overall sales. The problem was their profit margin had gone down, and they needed to hire somebody to increase their profit margin, even though they were increasing their sales, because that's all about the profit margin. Well, unfortunately, it's not always about the profit margin. Now, these people are supposedly smart. I've run small businesses. I've run more small businesses into the ground than anybody else on the planet, I think. But I've done startups. I've done all kinds of things, whether it's manufacturing, service business. I've tried all these things. I understand what the energy level that's required for all of them, and different kinds of energy that's required for all of them, in terms of just emotional and physical energy that's required in service industries and everything else. The interesting thing that happens is sometimes your profit margin is not going to reflect the value of the company. Now, And all they see is how can we present this to the stockholders and how can we continue to keep our stock price up? Because that's what they're playing. That's the game they're playing. And that's a short-term game. That is not a long-term game. Look at companies that, like Pepsi, for example, there's others. They didn't do that. Now they are a solid company now and they have a solid profit margin. They can do things that other companies can't because they are so well established. You can't just do that. This guy would do is he would come in and he would gut things and he would lay people off and he would do things to trim down the company. And by golly, he would get a profit margin because they were still coasting downhill. They were still showing, you know, all the gains that they had made into the market were still there. So they were still selling product. The problem was they were not they put themselves in a position where they could not continue to compete in the market. So they initially, just because of the momentum that they had, it's almost like a slingshot kind of effect. They would come in and he would cut everything, all the spending, all the tools that they were using to continue to increase their market share, things like airplanes, for example, the one thing about an airplane, it's a tool. It's like a time machine. It enables the user, the company or whoever owns the thing, that instead of the CEO having to go down to the commercial airline thing, buy a ticket, you have to go down and you have to be there an hour early, go through security, you do all this stuff, you have to do everything, and it takes you a whole day to get somewhere because you have a connection or whatever it is. In order to get to Pennsylvania, you have to go, you know, to get to Philly, you have to go to Chicago and then or Detroit and then go to Philly. By the time you get there, you have to wait in both places and hope that you catch your connection and there's no weather issues and mechanicals and everything else. And you get there and you finally get there and then you have to deal with, you only have a certain amount of time you can be there and you have to catch your flight coming back. If you have your own personal airplane, it's spun up and ready on the ramp when you get there to the airport, yet you walk right out into the air. You can take whatever you want with you. Get in the airplane and you fly away, and an hour later you're in the place in Philly where you need to be or whatever it is. The time you would have spent waiting at the airport for your flight, you're already there and you're doing business, and you can do business as long as you need to, and then you come home. And then you have the rest of the day back at the office or wherever you're going. Or maybe you go to someplace. And here's the other side of this thing that people don't realize in an airplane. Let's say you have a sales team, you put them all on the airplane, they have a business meeting, they have a team meeting on the airplane while they're heading to someplace. They get there, maybe they pick up a client, bring them back to their facility and show them what they've got. The whole time they're meeting with that client on the plane, at the factory, whatever you're at, and then they take them back. And they wine and dine them. It's more of a team approach with that. That airplane is used as a tool. If it's used properly, it is an incredible tool. Now, it's expensive, no doubt, but it increases market share. And of course, like during COVID, it was an incredibly valuable tool because you didn't have to mess around the airports. The biggest issue with all of that is it is expensive. But it's a tool that increases market share. And at some point, it pays off. Or hopefully it will. That's part of the gamble. And yes, it's going to eat into your profit margin, obviously. But it's an investment in your future for the company. And at some point, it's that growth in the market share that makes a difference. Now, that's not where they go. They don't look at it that way. The shareholders, had a bad quarter. We had a bad quarter. Had a couple bad quarters. We had an increase in sales, but a decrease in our profit margin. That's all they care about. So this guy would come in. This the guy that he came in and he gutted the first two companies. They failed. One of them is an open empty field right now. In fact, they literally just tore the building down. It was a huge facility in this area. It was one of the biggest employers in this area. other than the RV industry. But there was huge employer. They tore the building down. I think it's still barren land at this point. It's been years ago, probably 20 years ago. Whereas they found some contamination on the property as well, which is not a good idea. So that's what's happening there. Well, then, so they hired this guy at this pilot friend of mine, his company. They hired this guy, and he kept asking. He asked the guy twice. He actually had a personal face to face with him a couple of times. He said, "Hey, are you planning on keeping the flight department, or what's happening?" He goes, "You will always have a job here. Don't worry, your job is secure." That's what he said. You have job security here at this company. So one day he goes out to the office, goes out to the hangar. Plane's gone. He calls the office. "Hey, where's the plane? What's going on?" "Oh, come on into the office. We'll have to have a chat about what's going on with the airplane." Okay, so he went down to the office. "Okay, we got the airplane up for sale. It's going through a pre-buy right now. And the airplane's going to be sold. And we have a job here for you in the office. Be handling the transportation for the company, or be part of the transportation services here, pushing papers around. That's what he's going to be doing, filing stuff, making travel arrangements, calling, basically a travel agent. So he's going to be not flying the airplane. That was his career. Not going to be doing that. He left. And somebody, another company at the field just happened. Another guy just happened to be retiring. He stepped over and started flying the airplane for him. But it was dodged a bullet on that one. But he that's the kind of thing that people do. The companies do this kind of thing all the time. They pump stock. This is what Anthropic's doing right now. They're pumping their stocks. "Oh, this is so dangerous. Oh, we got this AI model is so dangerous. Oh, it's so incredible. It's just amazing. It's so dangerous. We can't even release it." Of course, then they accidentally release it. Of course, this tells you more about how stupid AI is. If it can accidentally release stuff that it's not supposed to release, don't you even have a security agent involved in anything? It just blows my mind. So that's what was happening with that whole thing. But that's the kind of mentality these companies have, and it's so that they're laying these people off, thinking, "Oh, we're going to cut all the costs." Well, now you've got all these people out there. You got 200 people out there. You could potentially become your competitors. They're going to be building, even if 10% of them, even if just 20 of those 200 people that you laid off are now able to pick up the baton, so to speak, because they are maybe technically savvy, or not, and I don't even have to be that technically savvy anymore. I can do stuff. And all of a sudden, they're building something that's competing with you, or something that you now have to purchase from them. Because they know your company, they know what your needs are, they come up with an app or whatever they come up with, or design something that now all of a sudden you have to pay for. And yeah, your bottom line may look better, but your overall long-term growth, 10 years from now, you're going to be done. And lo and behold, folks, the company I was telling you about, they're gone. The company that sold the airplane. I'm not saying they're gone because they sold the airplane. But that was one of the many things they did. They were the company in their field. It was a small niche product, but they were the nationally known company. They were flying all over the place doing things with their products, and they're gone. They closed. Now, whether or not China or a foreign entity would have taken them over anyway, highly questionable, because they had it was a product that needed engineers, it needed technicians, it needed all this stuff to put everything together. And it's not just something that you just sold just one product. You actually had to sell a complete system. Most of their systems were pretty customized into wherever the facilities they were going into, mostly like stadiums and arenas and that kind of thing. So it was a niche market with a limited amount of clients. However, it was big money. It wasn't a small task. It was usually million-dollar projects that they were working on. So it was very telling to see everything happen that way. It's just kind of interesting. Anyway, that's what And of course, I have to look at these people and some of these CEOs and some of the people that are board members and everything. Just, you people are supposed to be smart. And yet I just end up saying,
what's wrong with you people?
That's what I end up saying. So that's what we're going to do. Anyway, let's take one more call. Let's check in with the left coast here real quick and see what Chloe has to say. I don't know what she's...
Well, good technical Tuesday morning, Kevin.
Yeah.
Not so sure about what's going on around here.
Oh, yeah.
Lost my job at the software company.
Oh, you worked for
I wasn't a programmer or anything, but I did do some serious work pushing things around and arranging the chairs and stuff. What's your opinion on the job market? Is AI taking over itself? Just curious, a wise and brainy one.
Yes. Yeah. Well, again, this goes back to this whole thing. I think that's what we're talking about. The now, I don't know if you have any technical skills, if you're able to do anything, programming wise, or just even able to develop anything. But AI might help you out now that you're unemployed. You can look into it, see what you can do. The interesting thing about it all is how, and that's what's odd about this is sometimes the companies that have menial task workers, they'll lay off people who are brilliant and have the ability to do things, and they'll keep people who are doing the smaller tasks, cleaning the toilets, they'll keep those people. This happened to me one time. I was working a line. I was in a factory. I was working this line, and they were having some layoffs. They were slowing down. There was a guy there who was sweeping the floors, and he was making maybe a dollar an hour less than I was. Of course, back then that was $5 an hour. It was a lot of money back then, but. He's out there sweeping the floors and doing his thing and emptying the trash and walking around. Had a pretty easy, actually low stress job, in my opinion. They laid me off, and they didn't lay him off. So they didn't demote me. They didn't move me down to another and say, hey, you can keep your job, but you got to clean toilets. Okay, whatever. He's got a job. This guy's still got a job. I don't. It was very strange to me. That was very odd to me. I went over to apply for unemployment. Found out that you have to wait for 2 weeks. It was this weird process back then. This is back in the 80s. And I ended up not collecting any unemployment. I got a job the next day. I actually was driving home from the unemployment office. Stopped into a friend of mine to check out what he was doing. His job, he had like a retail thing he was running. Where he was working, he didn't own it. And he was looking to leave the position, and the owner happened to be there and interviewed me real quick. And by golly, Monday morning, I was starting a new job. I guess I'll be here Monday morning. Okay. This has happened to me so many times, I can't tell you. Where I just walk into some place and end up getting with a job. At least four major ones that I can remember, that I can think of, where I'd stepped out of one and run into another. Kind of interesting stuff. So that's what's happened. So I don't know. I think that there's a lot of hope for people who are getting laid off in these positions. I think in this particular industry, in this particular climate, there is a whole lot of things out there. I think a lot of positive ways to do things right now. The problem is there's so many things. It's hard to narrow down to when you have too many choices, when you have too many options, sometimes it's hard to pick one and just go with it because it's hard to find your passion in the middle. Sometimes when you're forced into a position, it's easier to just, okay, this is what I got to do now. But instead of, I could choose from these 23 things, not sure what to do. And it becomes, this is actually a phenomenon that happens with people that I've got tools. I can create anything. I can build anything. The problem is I don't know what to build because I can build anything. So what do I build? I don't know. So I build nothing. I don't do anything. Sometimes I just have to dive in and just start tinkering with something and playing with it, start building something. So I'm doing something instead of sitting there going, I don't know what to build. Kind of the way it works out. I think this thing has to wait like 3 seconds after I push the button. We'll see what happens. See if she has any cogent thing to say.
Okay, but that's literally the paralysis by analysis thing we're all experiencing right now, especially with AI blowing up. There's so many tools and opportunities. It's actually low-key overwhelming instead of helpful. And honestly, your factory story is insane because it proves companies sometimes don't even know what they're doing. Like, they'll cut the innovators, but keep the people just vibing, doing the bare minimum, which is backwards.
Yeah. She pretty much repeated everything I said. So she really, that's the ditz of the AI right there. I don't even think we're going to go through that one again. Let's talk to Skip here real quick. Skip's always got an interesting comment to say. What do you think there, Skip? Go ahead. Jump in whenever you want.
Howdy to you, Kev. Hey, now this whole thing with the AI companies, not so sure about what's going on with all this tech stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I think the robots are going to take over.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like every other day I hear something about what AI is doing or is capable of, and now they're putting these robots together that can think for themselves. Seems like a disaster waiting to happen. What's your opinion on all this stuff?
Good. That's a good question. It's still a little bit of a left turn. The AI world is not as AI as we are being led to believe. In some ways, it can think very quickly and get some things account. It seems like there's certain sectors of thinking that it can do very well. Other things, not so much. There was a guy the other day that was playing with this robot. It was all AI generated video, but there was this robot. It was kind of human, of a humanoid robot. This guy was, he had designed, he was testing it. And it had a gun. The thing was carrying a gun. And it was, he said, "Can you shoot me?" Because, you know, he asked him to shoot him. He said, "No, please." He said, "No, I can't shoot you. I'm programmed not to shoot you. I can't harm a human. I can't shoot you." He goes on and on and on, tries to antagonize this thing into shooting him. And he won't do it. He won't harm him. And then finally he goes, "Well, can we role play that you can shoot me?" "Oh, yeah." And he starts to shoot him. He shoots him in the chest. So there are ways around it. And of course, because the robot, the AI has no cognitive understanding. Now, there is a new thing out now. Now, agentic AI is really kind of the new, I think the new thing. It's kind of the future of what's happening right now with AI. AI itself is smart. It can do things. It's kind of like it's combining, it's aggregating all this stuff from the internet. An agent can actually do things. It can actually push buttons on your computer. It can go out and it can make, you know, stock trades for you. It can order things. It can keep track of inventory. It can do all these things and actually automatically do things, you know, while you're sleeping. It's running and doing things. It can send emails and do sales calls. It can scrape websites for information for clients. So we're in a different era now, and it can control your computer. Can look, you know, it can say, "Hey, organize my desktop or whatever," and it'll just do that. It'll organize all your files. That's what's a little bit spooky about all this. So now we have a whole different kind of clientele, but it still has no thinking and reasoning ability but they are working on that. In fact, there's one called, okay, you had OpenClaw, and then you have Hermes Agent. There's some more popular ones. There's one now called OpenHuman. It actually has a subconscious. They're calling it a subconscious. And it supposedly is supposed to save, you know, it's supposed to operate more like the human brain operates, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, we can't trust it. But at the same time, I think we're a long ways away. It's only because it's like a dangerous sawmill with no guard on it. It's like, that's kind of what it's not that dangerous, you know, that's the kind of thing. That's how I see it. It's like a tool with no guardrail. Because OSHA hasn't gotten involved.
Hold on, that role play workaround you mentioned is exactly what concerns me. If it can be tricked that easily, calling it safe is just marketing talk.
Yeah.
Now, this agentic AI doing stuff while you sleep, making trades, sending emails without you watching, can't remember a time when we gave anything unsupervised financial authority like that, and I'm not sure we should start now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's true. That is very true. What is this? This is a... Oh, missed call. Nobody left a message, though. Okay, well, that's fine. Whatever. What? You're crying for electronics. What? That's interesting stuff there. We have a... Yeah, that's where I'm at with it. Now, I don't know. The whole role-playing thing is... It can. What they've found is this can find... The AI can find a way to work around things. This new one, this open human thing, is fascinating the way it works, and it has a lot of guardrails, a lot of things. But however, it can be turned loose to control your computer as well, and it's I think it's probably to me, it sounds like it's the sharpest of the bunch. However, it's very infant right now, and it's about every other day they have an update, which is it's incredibly quickly expanding its abilities. It's probably gonna right now. Hermes is kind of the agent to have. I think it OpenClaw still works very well, and it's developing and getting better. But the from what I've heard, every time you try to update OpenClaw, it crashes. It has issues, whereas Hermes does not. I've actually asked Hermes to update itself. I just heard on YouTube that there was an update to Hermes, and I texted Opie and I said, "Hey, check for updates." It didn't get any response. Of course, I told it not to respond, so I wasn't sure it was even working. So I ended up texting it a different way, and it came back and said, "There's no updates available." And I'm back to check my other messages and said, "Everything's been updated." So it's like it went through the update and it told me about it and what the new update was and everything about it. It was like all the good things that were in the new update and all this stuff. And so it actually had done it so fast that by the time I texted it another way, it responded with all the updates are done. So it was yeah, interesting stuff. But so it actually updates itself, which I think is fascinating. And again, like you said, it's a little bit scary, but that's where we are with this thing. So,
yeah, that's the thing. Hermes seems to be the most stable one right now, but the fact that it updated itself without you explicitly authorizing it is exactly what keeps me up at night. Now, this is interesting what you're saying about OpenHuman having a so-called subconscious, but if it's expanding its abilities that fast, who's actually in control here?
Well, and I believe there are still programmers behind the scenes now at this point. Just to be clear, I told it to check for updates and update itself. It didn't just do it on its own. I'd heard good things about the update, that's why I did it. If it just starts updating itself automatically, like you said, now I could set it up to do a cron job where it checks for updates every hour or every day. In that case, it could accept an update without me knowing about it, and all of a sudden, somebody hacked into it with an update or whatever. That would be bad. That's why I don't do that. I wait until I get some reviews on the updates, and then we can do it. That's the wisest way to do it. To know that it's actually a company update, and there's nothing bad on the update. There's always that risk, though. You never know. Sometimes the updates are because they have found something that's vulnerable on the current system, so it's good to change the update real quickly. But it seems to be working pretty well. The only person we haven't heard from yet today is Elena. We're going to talk to Elena here a little bit and see what she has to say, our resident historian. Go ahead, Elena. I'm listening.
Well, here we are again, Kevin. This whole thing with the AI tech bubble.
Yep.
Historically speaking, because I'm a historian and that's what I do every time I speak, it seems to me that the dot-com bubble that happened around the turn of the century seems to just keep coming back in a different form.
Time
it evolves into a bigger and scarier theme.
Yeah.
Not sure who to believe or who to trust in all this mess. If history is our guide, this could turn out to be a large crash or a huge boon.
Yeah, either way, it could be either one. This could be a huge benefit for mankind. There's always pros and cons to everything. It seems like there are positive things with every technological advance, even mechanical advancement we've had. There's always positives and negatives to it. Good things that happen and bad things that can happen. Because it's just a tool, and however humanity uses it. Unfortunately, humanity can use things for, medicine was a great thing until, drugs were, can be abused or they can be used for something good. The same, fentanyl was actually designed to be a good thing. And unfortunately, it has been abused, and it's abused in huge numbers now. The same thing can happen with any technological, a gun is back in the early settling days, when you use a gun for hunting, you use a gun for protection and all those kinds of things, it's an incredible tool. It's a tool that can be used for good, for protecting society, when police carry them, that kind of thing. Or people carry them for self-protection, and for hunting and for feeding yourself. Now, the other side of that is it can also be used for crime and to commit crime and to take advantage of other people. So the same thing can happen with any kind of tool. You can use a chainsaw the same way. So computer technology is the same thing. If you have an advancement in computer technology, or you have something that's going on with all that, that same thing can happen. You can use it or abuse it, and cause humanity, cause good things to happen or bad things to happen. So, historically speaking, but it changes society. I think there's definitely a shift in culture. People now spend more time on their computers and more time behind their, looking at their phones than they do looking out the window. And I used to be, when you're driving along in your car, you would just have a conversation, or you'd be, talking about what you see outside. Oh, look, there's a squirrel. Oh, look, there's just all the different things that would happen around you as you're driving down. Now, you're just got your head down, looking at a screen or reading something or watching a video or listening to something. It kind of captivates. It's a different cultural shift. You can't really say it's good or bad. You're absorbing different kinds of information. It can be bad. It can be abused. It can be addictive. It can also be a good thing. I mean, you're expanding your horizons. You're learning something. Whatever you're doing. But unfortunately, watching something or listening to something is typically a very passive activity. This is where I think people get into trouble with all kinds of technology. I know I'm going down a little bit different road than what you were initially saying there, but it's the thing that is painful for our society. We don't see it coming. Is that it changes our perspective? It changes our paradigm. We have a society that is a little bit more. What's the word? Passive in their absorption of information around them. 100 years ago, you would go out and you'd create things. You'd go out and you'd make things. You'd do things. You had a little bit more. You had a little bit less free time, as you say, free, because you had to do your laundry by hand in a bucket or whatever you had to do. I mean, it's just things that were a little bit differently back then. There was just more household chores to do. It took more effort to live. So you had to do more of those kinds of things. Cooking wasn't just, you couldn't just go through a drive-thru everywhere. 100 years ago, I don't think there was a drive-thru 100 years ago. Maybe a horse-thru. But there were cars. But a very different world. And so there was just a very different culture, very different kind of mentality. Whereas now, when you learn something, you had to read it and then do it. You had to actually do things to learn them, which is very different than we have now. We have a very passive mindset where things are being imprinted on our brain they're not really imprinting that well, because just passively watching something does not imprint as well as actually doing the thing. You learn a lot more by doing it than you do anything else. And making mistakes is actually a huge thing to learn with. But there's a very different shift in our culture that we need to watch, kind of see how things are going. But that's kind of the extent of it. That's how I see it. I kind of went on a different route, I think, there. But I don't know if that helps to answer any of your questions, that it really answers your question. I'm not sure what your question was.
You're hitting on something I think about a lot, the difference between passive consumption and active engagement. Mm. And honestly, it reminds me of how the printing press faced the same criticism when it first arrived. People worried it would make us lazy thinkers instead of memorizers. But your point about learning through doing and mistakes really resonates, because that's how people actually built skills a century ago, whether it was carpentry or cooking. Failure was immediate feedback. What strikes me now is we've swung so far toward frictionless consumption that we've almost forgotten how much struggle was actually baked into competency back then.
That's a good point. Struggle was baked into competency. That's a good point. The struggle of life, getting something done, getting something accomplished, and just, getting through the day, being able to find food, storage, shelter, safety, water, all the basic essentials. It was a much more of a struggle, back then than it is now, at least in the modern world. And it's I think that that has given us more free time, but what we do with that free time, I think, is critical in terms of how we develop as our character develops, and even as a society as we develop. When you see, you know, living in big cities is typically easier. There's more people there. There's a lot more productivity because there's more people. And unfortunately, some people get into this, I would call it lazy culture syndrome, where they have things are so readily available and they're there that they stop trying at all. They just think that society should take care of them, and they're just there, and all this stuff just kind of happens. They don't see the hundreds of trucks coming into the city every day, and all the people that are growing the food and doing everything outside the city that keep them sustained in the city. And I think like there's a disconnect there that I think that happens because all this produce and everything is just kind of magically there. It's an interesting concept. It's just interesting perspective. We're kind of going down a rabbit hole with all that. I don't know, just if you have anything else to add.
You're absolutely right about that disconnect. It's almost like there's a veil between consumption and production that didn't exist a century ago when most people were directly involved in creating what they needed.
Yeah.
The really interesting historical parallel is how cities have always created this illusion of self-sufficiency, from Rome relying on Egyptian grain to Victorian London depending entirely on global supply chains they never saw. What worries me is whether we're losing the knowledge that nothing appears magically, and that loss of understanding might be more dangerous than the passivity itself.
Well, you're quite philosophical today, Elena. I must say, you're quite down the philosophical road, as they say. Interesting stuff. I think I could carry on more of a conversation with that. It's nice to have this thing working properly. It actually sometimes does make some comments that are cogent. Sometimes it just repeats back everything I say. So this is where AI is today. And here's the thing. There was this thing, I think it was a computer called Elise. And this happened back in, I don't know if I talked about this last week. I don't think I did. This guy in the 60s designed this little computer, and it was a thing called Elise, and it was designed to be a what he considered artificial intelligence, that you could talk to this computer. And what it actually was doing was mirroring everything you were saying. So it was like looking in a mirror. Now, this is what AI kind of is. And if you listen to these responses carefully, now the first call-in that they do, when I push the call-in button, it plays, it's a text-to-speech system. So everything I've typed in is what it says initially. So I think of a question, that's what I'll ask me this question, we'll have this part of the discussion. Sometimes I forget about what I've typed in. Now, eventually, I want to have, this is going to be part of the tiered program as well, these callers will actually automatically come up with questions on their own. So you won't even know, when you hit the call button, you won't know what kind of question they're going to ask. It will be generated by the AI agent within the agentic world. So that's what's going to happen eventually. I'm hoping to get there by the end of next week, where I've got this thing set up so that I actually have an agent, Odie or somebody, is going to be. But my next step with Odie is that he's going to be creating a whole network of other sub-agents, which should be very interesting. It's going to be on another computer. And then I'm going to have one agent that lives on my computer here, and then that agent is going to be able to. Which I almost have that with Dispatch with Claude Code, but it's a very different thing. It's a co-work thing. But it only works with Claude, basically, and it can control certain things on the computer. But I'm going to have the other agent do things that are a little bit different. It's just going to be a very controlled agent that does some things. No, but that's the whole key to the point to this whole thing is that that way the agentic workflow will happen even in this podcast call thing. It's kind of refreshing, though, to have actually some response with it. Almost a conversation that you're having with something that's digging up information. You're kind of having a conversation with the information, and it's prompting. So from that first call, then it starts to respond to other things I've said. It's supposed to watch the whole, it's supposed to listen to the entire transcript. And respond back about that. It's even supposed to make comments about other callers that have called in. But we'll see if that ends up happening with the more the polished version comes out with the web version of this thing as it comes out. That's all there is. That's all I got about for right now. We'll come back in just a couple minutes, and we'll talk about what's going to be on tomorrow's show, tomorrow Wednesday, Wishy-Washy Wednesday. What we might have tomorrow, actually, tomorrow's Wednesday? Yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday. So we're probably going to have a live show tomorrow morning. We'll see how that works out. It's going to be live from the home office here, the home studio. We'll talk about it right after this.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah. According to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me. According to me.
All right. As we ease into the end of the show here, we've gone over an hour. I can't believe I've taken over an hour of the show. Just the interesting thing about this whole technology is just how it's expanding and growing, I think, faster than any technology I've seen before. Just every other day there's upgrades and things that are happening. Just fascinating, in my opinion, how things have been going on. But how quickly things grow and the different competitors that are out there and things that are happening. On tomorrow's show will be live, of course, I think on Rumble. That's what I'm planning on doing. It may or may not happen. If I can't get the Rumble thing, I've done the Rumble before. I'm not so sure I like that format there, but I'll be recording it as well. So the recording will probably come out around 10. Hopefully I'm going to be on here at least by 9 a.m. is the plan. And to have the live show rolling. So again, I'll be doing it from home. I know that the AI studio here works. So we'll have some AI callers to come up with some things. Probably talk about some politics and some other things, financial stuff, just a smattering of whatever. If you can call into the show, I might have the phone line actually open. By the way, you can call the show, 574-651-7685. Call in if you'd like to. In the meantime, God bless. I hope everything goes well for the rest of your week. Thanks for listening today. And in the meantime, see ya.